this is Dr. Diana Wiley, and I am the host of Love, Lust, and Laughter, once again joined by Dr. Ashley Mader, and I'm so happy to have you back, Ashley. You were with me 2 weeks ago, and we talked about aging and sexuality, which is a specialty that we both share. Hello, Ashley.
Yes. Hello. I'm excited to be back on the show.
Well, I'm excited to have you, and we're going to talk about a topic that is a hot topic.
It is.
Cannabis and sex. And there's a lot to say about it. We would want to give you a balanced show because we want to ask the question, is cannabis for you? It really seems to help a lot of people. Ashley, you told me off the air that your clientele in your private practice range from 18 to 80, and that more than half use cannabis in some form. Can you expand on that a little bit, and please, for the listening audience?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I have a kind of my clients run the gamut of 18 to 80, and half of them do use cannabis. And some of it is, it's not always for sexual purposes, though sometimes it is. But a lot of it is for stress and anxiety. It's something that helps people feel more calm. Other times it's to help people fall asleep. I'm not saying that there are some recreational users as well, but a lot of my clients use it medicinally to combat stress and anxiety and to help them sleep and just feel better in their bodies. Also, pain. If people have Crohn's or celiac, sometimes cannabis can be very helpful for pain in that way.
Yes. It's, my clients too use it for pain, and especially some pain that has to do with sexual functioning. And maybe we can get into that too. So you have clients, as do I, that use maybe not the THC part of cannabis, but more the CBD part.
Yes. Sometimes that CBD, a lot of, now CBD is so readily available, like CBD oil in, I believe, all 50 states now, not THC, just CBD. And a lot of them use the oil for also just to relax. It's replaced. A lot of them feel much better using CBD than they would a prescription drug like Xanax or some benzodiazepine. So they use CBD instead for anxiety.
Yes, and it makes a lot of sense because for so many people, there are fewer side effects. And last fall, my husband and I went to a senior center. It was a very sort of active group. They weren't, they were active. And so the whole presentation was on cannabis and cannabis as medicine and the CBD part and also the THC part. Carl Sagan, he said a long time ago, I want to give this quote, it's good, cannabis enhances the enjoyment of sex. On the one hand, it gives an exquisite sensitivity, but on the other hand, it postpones orgasm. And what he meant by that, I believe, was you can last longer and maybe have more than one orgasm. We have a local guy in Seattle, but he has a national advice column called Savage Love. And probably, have you heard of him, Ashley?
Yeah.
Dan Savage?
Yes, he's wonderful.
Yes, he really is. And so I want to quote him too, go from Carl Sagan to Dan Savage. So he says, get high and have sex. It's amazing, or it can be. Individual results may vary, of course, but pot can make you silly, it can make you playful, and it can put you in the moment. Boy, that's, you know,
yeah,
being silly, playful, and being in the moment. Those are huge things for people. And if any of you out there have read my book, Love in the Time of Corona, you'll know that I emphasize the value of being silly and playful and in the moment. And these are all keys to more enjoyable, sensual, and sexual connection with your partner. I mean, really, Ashley, isn't it true? Sex is fun. It's adult playtime for pleasure, positive experiences.
Absolutely. I mean, it is. It is our adult playtime. And it doesn't, there's so many different types of sex to be had. I mean, there is that passionate, what I call like the passionate throwdown sex. But there's also the silly sex and the funny sex where you can just like laugh with your partner. And that's also a treat.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, what a treat. Yes. And I, as a side note, before we go on and get more in depth into this conversation about cannabis in general as a medicine, but also especially cannabis and sex, because my show is about sexuality. There is fascinating research. I think I mentioned this to you. I know I mentioned this to Ashley. Ronald K. Siegel and yes, his PhD, his groundbreaking 1989 book. It was called Intoxication, The Universal Drive for Mind-Altering Substances. And it documents how people in every historical age and every part of the world have pursued intoxication. And they've done that with plants, alcohol, and other substances. He calls it the fourth drive. The fourth drive, and this would be after food, sleep, and sex.
Yeah.
Because it is so powerful and persistent as a natural part of the biology of humans. And, you know, and it turns out that a lot of animals and even insects. Yeah, you know, like birds eating certain berries and getting drunk on the berries.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you think about that, that fourth drive of intoxication?
I mean, I think we're in some ways that we're all looking for something to make us feel better in the moment. And whether
yeah,
that be our first cup of coffee, I know that I have a cup of coffee every single morning, to having cannabis or alcohol. I think we're all animals that we all want to have something that can kind of alter our mind, maybe as an escape,
mm-hmm,
whether it's mm-hmm, to cope, whether it's to feel something just different. I don't think it necessarily has to be about, you know, like substance abuse, but it can just be like just wanting to feel different, something that alters your reality a little bit.
Yes, we do need that, and particularly these days in the COVID-19, the pandemic that we're experiencing, and so many people are shut in and in the lockdown, and they're having a lot of stress and anxiety about when will this end, how can I have more fun, they might get to that point. How can I have a little more pleasure and fun with my partner? If you're lucky enough to be quarantined with a partner, and you are, Ashley, and I am, mm-hmm, and it does make a difference. We're fortunate. There are a lot of people that, of course, who are all alone and isolated and experiencing pain, anxiety, and stress alone. Now, some of these people will use cannabis for these people alone will use it as a way to escape and relax and sleep better and maybe even as medicine. Or they might even use it for sex with themselves. I think one reason the sex toy market is just off the charts. It's really exploded in sales. People are getting sex toys so that they can bring themselves pleasure.
No, absolutely. I mean, it makes complete sense to me is that people want to feel good right now because a lot of times when you are shut in, when you're not, you might not be doing the normal things like going out, being social, you might not be going out to dinner or the things that might bring you pleasure. So how can you bring pleasure to yourself?
Yeah. With your partner? And it can be a very pleasant distraction. We need a little bit of that these days, and it can be so much better for you than alcohol. We know that. Let's talk a little bit about the need, perhaps, to move past the stoner stigma, as it's been called. And there's a lot of social disapproval of cannabis, and the stoner stereotype was about the disoriented, unmotivated person who seemed to be under the influence of cannabis a lot. And so this is a strong cultural meme in our society.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. And I think that has a lot to do probably also with in the 80s that Reefer Madness came out. But you know, the people I know that use cannabis on a regular basis, or not so regular, depending on how you describe regular, it might be like a weekly thing, it might be like every other day. Everyone I know, whether it's clients or friends, they are extremely high-functioning, motivated people of all, as I said, of all ages. So to me, like I hear that stereotype, and to me, as of like now, it just doesn't make sense because there's so many people who use it for different things, and it's definitely not to me. It's important to move past the stoner stereotype.
Yeah, I think it is. And alcohol, we know that alcohol is widely used. Based on survey data, about 50% of American adults report that they drink beer, wine, or liquor at least once per month. And I think alcohol maintains its popularity because people enjoy its intoxicating effects, which include relaxation, disinhibition, and mild euphoria, when consumed in moderation.
Yes.
And, of course, lots of people these days are in isolation, are not using alcohol in moderation, and they're using it to just go out into oblivion. And it's really not so good for their health. Now, I said that the survey data, 50% of American adults, similar surveys show that about 15% of Americans report that they use cannabis at least once per month. And this proportion has been growing over the last two decades as more and more states have opened the doors to legalization. In your state of Massachusetts, it's legal, right, both
yes.
medicinally and recreationally.
Yes, I think that became legal was it last year or maybe 2 years ago. Our first store popped up, or dispensary
yes.
popped up.
And here in Washington State, we've been recreationally legal since 2012.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing. Cannabis maintains its popularity because people do enjoy its intoxicating effects. Relaxation, same as alcohol. Disinhibition, mild euphoria when consumed in moderation. But there are some dangers about excessive alcohol. Of course, you know, some of the, in terms of the history of this, the paradox was fostered by the politically motivated war on drugs that began in the 20th century and is sustained in no part by the interests of, wait for this, $1.5 trillion global alcoholic beverage industry. $1.5 trillion. Yeah. But there are signs that things are changing, and we've seen it. Cannabis legalization has not caused increases in illness, injury, misery, or death. And that's not true with alcohol.
I read something about how the two obviously controlled substances that are illegal everywhere, alcohol and tobacco, have caused more death and destruction than a lot of these other, like cannabis especially, but alcohol and is very dangerous if it's used excessively.
Yes, and I think a lot of people are experiencing that. But of course, if you live in a state where you don't have access to a cannabis store with a bud tender who can be can really educate the person, if you don't have access, then of course it's harder. But so many states, I don't know how many states now. I should have that figure in front of me, but I don't have it. But anyway, it's quite a few. Maybe you know, Ashley.
It might be 12, but I could be wrong.
I think that sounds right. Maybe 12 or 13 that have legalized recreational. Many, many more have legalized medicinal. That's why, because cannabis is a medicine. But, you know, I think this is fascinating. Even the great-great-granddaughter of legendary etiquette advisor Emily Post wrote a book in 2019 called Higher Etiquette. And it gives guidance about all the social aspects of consuming cannabis. So we're moving in that direction for sure with higher etiquette and so on.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting because we've lived in a history where consuming alcohol is sexy. It's supposed to put you in the mood. You see it in advertisements. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there is that like relaxation. But if you have too much alcohol, it actually decreases sexual sensitivity. So sex isn't as enjoyable a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. Women typically have more trouble if they're really drunk. They have trouble reaching orgasm, and men may have trouble maintaining an erection, or getting one and losing one if they have too much alcohol in their system, and it's just the opposite with cannabis.
Yeah,
because the physical reactions to cannabis include vasodilation, and these are the small blood vessels that become dilated throughout the body. And sometimes this causes bloodshot eyes and feelings of warmth on the skin, mm-hmm. and sometimes engorgement of erectile tissues. That's a good thing. Erectile tissues in the penis, erectile tissues in the clitoris. The clitoris is the female's penis in that it has very similar erectile tissue and parts to it, to the male. And so the engorgement of erectile tissues is a good thing. Let me just go over the other physical reactions, and then let's have more of a conversation about these. Appetite, your desire for food is stimulated. And, of course, this is usually called getting the munchies. But this is surprising because studies have found little, if any, correlation between marijuana consumption and weight gain. Isn't that surprising?
That is very surprising. I did not realize that. That's interesting.
Yeah. And then another, so we have physical reactions, vasodilation, appetite, drowsiness. Some people report that consuming cannabis makes them sleepy, but many do not. I've had a number of clients say that it does make them too sleepy. Of course, later when they want to sleep, that's a good thing. But if they want to play, that can get in the way.
Right.
And then dehydration, so the dry mouth. So it's really important to drink a lot of water when consuming cannabis of, in any form, whether that's edibles or smoking.
Yes. I wonder with the increased appetite and not being correlated to weight gain, I wonder if, and this is just, I'm just throwing this out here. I don't know, but like, because food tastes better with the munchies a lot of times. And I wonder if people actually feel more satiated. So they might not like, they're just really, truly just enjoying the food.
I think that's a fascinating theory. I think it's very possible because they're slowing down and they're chewing more slowly,
mm-hmm.
perhaps. Or if they're really, if their appetite is really spiked, they might want to put as much food in their mouth as possible. But I think it's more likely that they are slowing down and savoring, which is such a good thing. I mean, over the years I've been in practice, I have two words that I suggest to a lot of my couples in general is slow down, slow down. And certainly cannabis can help you. Because all of your senses may become enhanced or pleasantly distorted. So, you know, for some, colors may appear more vivid. Imagery could be a little bit altered. There may be sort of a spectral quality. Hearing may be heightened, which can make it more enjoyable to listen to music, especially with headphones, right?
Yes.
And then we have touch. It may be more sensitive. Feather light touches on smooth skin and taste and smell can also become heightened. And, of course, we're back to the munchies here.
Well, and it's like when your senses are all heightened like that,
mm-hmm.
that means all of the, if you're in a sexual situation, all of those senses are open wide and
mm-hmm.
it would increase so much. Everything would just feel very heightened and more pleasurable and enjoyable for people. So it makes sense that like it can be used in a sense of like an aphrodisiac.
Absolutely. Like an aphrodisiac. Yes. Yes. The other factors that can really influence one's experience with cannabis is set and setting. And set sometimes means mindset. So it refers to the state you're in as you start to consume cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a person has significant emotional disturbances or physical problems that might block the enjoyment of cannabis, those can come up. So the mindset is important. And the setting, of course, refers to where you are and how you relate to your particular location. So I always suggest where you can be free of distractions and responsibilities. The whole safe thing is, talk a little bit, if you will, Ashley, about the safety thing in general and in specifically with cannabis.
Well, with safety, because the thing is that when you have cannabis, I mean, your senses are super heightened. So you want to have a sense of safety. Also, for some people who use cannabis can get paranoid. So it's very important for them to feel safe. Depending on the situation for some people, you know, some people might want to start off it depends on how you feel safe. Maybe some people want to start off if they're going to experiment with cannabis by themselves. Maybe that will make them feel the safest. Some people might want to have a trusted partner or a trusted friend. But also, like, sometimes if you are out in public, and I say this because, you know, if it's, you know, legal where you are and you take too much, or if you smoke too much, or however you consume cannabis, it can feel very unsafe, and you can just feel very unstable. So you want to have that sense of safety. And the other thing too is that when you're in an altered state, even though with cannabis you're still grounded, you still know what's going on. But anytime you're in an altered state, in a sexual situation, consent is key. You want to talk about consent and
yes,
that type of safety as well.
Let's talk about that. I was going to, but I'm really glad you brought it up, consent. So, let's talk about how important that is.
I mean, consent is, I mean, a lot of times, I think it's really important before a couple uses cannabis together, or if one person wants to use cannabis, to talk about sexual boundaries, what, like, before even getting high or using it, and talk about what those boundaries are, and whether you want to have a safe word or what, if that, it depends on, but it's really important for a partner to respect that person's boundaries. That's just being able to have an enthusiastic yes from your partner.
Yes. So we're back to the importance of communication. So if the couple is going to experiment with cannabis, they must have this discussion before anybody gets high.
Yes.
And to talk about what their intentions are, what their expectations are, kind of similar. And, I like your idea of a safe word. If a person is having a bad trip, they need to let the other person know.
Yes.
And right away. And,
I think it's also important, and I think this goes more, I mean, it goes both ways, but I think each person in the couple needs to be aware, increasingly aware of their partner's responses as well. Because, you know, if someone gets too high, which is, I mean, we have, like, it can happen. So always, like, if you're experimenting with cannabis, like, don't think that you can just, like, take a giant gummy bear and be fine. You won't. You won't feel very well. A person needs to be aware of, like, is the person feeling more paranoid? Is the person, being really aware of, I mean, it's important for the partner to be able to say, like, hey, like, this doesn't feel good, let's stop. But it's also good for, like, maybe check-ins during the sexual activity.
Yes. Because we need to remind people who are listening that cannabis really can have moderately intense mind-altering effects. So having this discussion before, reviewing any issues with this informed consent to sexual interaction, and making sure that each of you is really clear about personal boundaries before you mix cannabis and sex.
Yeah.
All of that is so important. And it'll make the whole experience better if you have had this discussion and you feel safer. Of course, it helps a lot to do this. You shouldn't, in my view, it's much better to have sex with somebody you trust.
And, yes.
Yeah, and that you do feel safe with. The amygdala, the part of our brain where that houses fearful feelings, a lot of negative feelings, the amygdala needs to take a nap for really great sex, and especially female orgasm. You need to feel really, really safe, and especially if there's been sexual abuse in the background, and And maybe, of course, therapy is important for that. But all of those things have to be considered. And if you're, so if you are, so you're going to have clear communication, so mm-hmm. expectations and boundaries, and then I would say experiment, and especially in the early stages of the process, because it takes time and some dedication to learn the right combinations of variables that work best for you and your partner. And so that may be for an edible that you, and I always suggest this, that you start slow, go slow and start low.
And yep, like, microdose.
Yes. What did you say? What dose?
Microdose. Do a microdose.
Yes, like microdose. Yes.
It's
so that if you have a chocolate or a gummy bear, and it or a cookie, and it's 10 milligrams, it's such a good idea to just take half, five, to start. Yeah. Remembering that it's going to take for an edible anywhere between 30 minutes and an hour, sometimes longer, for it to kick in, for you to feel the effects.
It's not something that it is like, you know, the whole, like, the saying, go big or go home. Not with edibles. Do not just go like, oh, I don't feel anything. It's been 15 minutes. I'm going to eat another brownie. Don't do that.
Right. And some people, before we had all of these pot stores and the making of edibles where the amount of the THC is really controlled. But in the old days, the pot brownies, sometimes you just didn't know how much pot was in the brownie. And some people just had terrible trips, and it made them paranoid to ever try it again. And we're in a different world these days.
Yeah.
So, but again, you have to have conversations, read up on things. I think it's important to educate yourself on this.
And there's different, like, when you go to a dispensary, I know that some people don't want to seem like like a newbie, like, oh, I don't know anything. And it's okay. That's what the bud tenders are there for. They're to help you. So there's different strains of cannabis that might have different effects on a person. There's different, like, if you're not really wanting to smoke, obviously we've talked about edibles. But there's also tinctures, which are little drop, like an eyedropper that you can put on the back of your hand, like four drops, lick the back of your hand, and that can just like help people as well. So you can start very small. There's mixtures of CBD and THC, like edibles, that can be a good balance. But talk to the person at the dispensary about what your expectations are, what you want to use it for, whether it is for sex, anxiety, for sleep, for pain. Talk to them, and they will direct you in the right direction.
Yes, they're very educated and helpful. That's been my experience. And it's sort of parallel to, going to a sex toy store.
Yeah.
And I've had some clients who've never been in one, and it was sort of embarrassing. But once they got in, they found that the salespeople were so friendly and helpful and educated and without bias. They're just so sex positive in the case of a sex toy store, and in the case of a pot store, they're educated, and they want to be helpful, and they are, and they'll put you at ease. And I think that's very good advice, Ashley, to tell them what you want it for. And it could be a combination of those things. I mean, you may want it for mm-hmm. sex, and then later it'll help with sleep.
Right, exactly. No, I think that it's just extremely important, and because I think it's important not to just to go in there and be like, oh, I want this, this, and this, and not ask, because about it, because if you, you know, a lot of the things may look small, but they're still very potent. So I think it's really important to talk to the person about what your expectations are.
Very true. Expectations are, you know, in general, over the years, I've said to couples, assumptions and expectations, those two things can get you in trouble if you don't check them out. Talk about your assumptions. Talk about your expectations. Don't just assume stuff. So let's talk a little bit more about some of the effects that cannabis intoxication can have, and relaxation.
Yes.
Cannabis can gently soothe your mood and state of mind, relieving anxieties, and it can help you be more in the moment. In the moment, so you can pay attention to and appreciate pleasurable feelings of sexual arousal. Be in the moment. That is so hard for some people.
Yeah.
It derails, especially in my experience, it derails women from reaching orgasm because they're not in the moment. They're thinking about other things, and maybe even that they don't really want to be there. But
it's important because that's what cannabis can help you, because it does. As I said like earlier, it's like it does heighten the senses and it does make you feel more in the moment. And I think that's something that a lot of people, especially women, do struggle with.
Yeah, they do. And everything can be better in the moment. And including if we stay in the moment, we usually have less anxiety because we can appreciate what's going on in the moment.
Yeah.
With touch and the breathing and all of that, which is really good for sexual pleasure, well, for arousal and sexual pleasure. So let's talk about playfulness.
Yeah.
The feelings of euphoria that are generated by cannabis often lead to a sense of playfulness, even silliness. And this can really be contagious between partners. And I have found for a number of the women that I've worked with in a couple, that they're inhibited. And so cannabis can lower inhibitions so that you feel maybe freer to express your playful self and maybe to explore your sexual curiosity. And some people even find that they are more creative in their lovemaking, so that they have new and enjoyable ways of turning each other on.
And I think sometimes, I mean, the play, the pleasure, and also, like, this goes along with play, is laughing together. Just laughing together, whether it's in, you know, a sexual situation, it just helps connect the couple. It releases, it's cathartic, it connects people. And I think that's extremely important for a couple. And I think it can also, that laughing together can bring down those inhibitions as well to connect more.
Absolutely. I love it that the word silly, in Old English, originally silly meant not something just frivolous or, you know, silly, but it meant if you were silly, you were wise and healthy and happy. And prosperous, that was another association with silliness. So the Old English word was saleg, S-A-L-E-G. So we should want a little more silliness in our life. And honestly, cannabis can produce that. And it's so good for us. It's so good for us to be playful. And yeah. Have you had any clients who appreciated that part of it, the playfulness part, the silliness part?
Yeah, I think, I mean, in some, I hear couples talk about how it increases them laughing together. And whether it's like, you know, sitting down and watching a TV show or a funny movie, it just creates that just laughing together, or just even if you're just sitting by yourself, maybe that's like you just laugh at something because it can kind of, it creates that. And that can, it can relax couples as well, just that laughing.
Yeah, I've always said, and it's not original, but couples who laugh together last, L-A-S-T, together. And it's really true. And if somebody is single and looking for a mate, they need to be sure that they have a similar sense of humor, that you laugh at similar things, because that can be very telling if you don't. If you don't have a similar sense of humor. But let's go back to couples, because presumably you're together because you like each other and you feel comfortable together. And laughing together can also, of course, lead to more playful sex and relaxing. I had a case, and the couple in their mid-40s with two preteen kids. And their sex life had faded to about once every month or 2 months. And the husband really wanted to get help because he was frustrated. So I encouraged them over the course of several sessions to look more closely at what each of them wanted in their sexual relationship. I bet you do that too. What do you really want in your relationship, right?
Yeah, I like to explore, like I call it like an erotic template. What is your erotic template? What do you want in your erotic template? What is in your erotic template that you're not getting?
Oh, I like that phrase, erotic template. What are you not getting? Yes. Yes. And so back to this couple, I'm going to call them Nicole and Bryce. And Nicole said she used to enjoy sex, especially in the early days of their relationship, which is true for lots of couples.
Yep.
And then the kids came along. And then she said, now that I'm a mother, maybe it's just the way it will be. I just am not feeling very sexy. And of course, I suggested to Nicole that she visit a sexual medicine specialist and get a blood test for her sex hormones, and she did that. And she didn't have any underlying medical conditions. You do this, I do this, but you've got to rule out medical stuff first, so send them off
Absolutely.
To us. Yeah. So, well, it turned out that Nicole's mother was raised in a very strict and religious family, and had instilled in her daughter some real sex negative messages, and then she rebelled against her mother when she was a teenager. But then, when she had her own children, there were some faint echoes of those early voices that began to seep back in her mind, mostly just below the level of her awareness. Eventually, they got to the place where they could try a little cannabis together, and the first two times, it didn't work for them, and she didn't feel any different, and I suggested, and this is all, of course, homework assignments.
Yep.
I'm seeing people these days mostly on Zoom, but still, you know, when they, perhaps on their date night at home. So I suggested they keep trying, and on the third try, they had a breakthrough, and Nicole experienced some mild euphoria and was able to relax into the moment and let down her guard. Yeah. And she said something rather poetic. She said it felt like being a feather gently floating in the breeze. And so eventually they had some really great sex, and the husband said, best sex we've had since the kids were born. So it was, yeah, it was a good solution for them. Have you had some similar stories in your cases?
Yeah, I had a client one time that kind of very similar. The woman just wasn't feeling very sexy. Also, I mean, I think a lot of times, sometimes some women after childbirth don't feel good in their bodies, and like body image stuff can come up.
Yes.
And she just wasn't feeling it, and she didn't have any sexual desire. And in some ways, like both, you know, she and her husband kind of was like, okay, well, this is just kind of the messaging that they received. It's like, okay, well, once you have children, you know, your sex life kind of goes kapooey anyway, which is not like the right message.
Yes.
But we
yes,
all have these
true.
Sexual scripts that we have been brought up with. And she decided to take just a slight amount of tinctures, just some THC tinctures, not CBD, but it was THC. And
mm-hmm.
it was the first time she started feeling sexual desire again.
It awakened
and
her desire. And how old
awakened
woman,
her desire.
Is she more or less?
She was in her 40s, 44.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good.
So I think,
good.
I mean, it helps. And it's also, there needs to be more research on THC and cannabis and sex, but there has been one doctor in Dr. Becky Lynn, and she's the director of the Center for Sexual Health and an associate professor in gynecology at St. Louis University. She did a study, and she said after, there's some limitations in the study, but the women reported that when they used cannabis before sex, they had more satisfying orgasms. So there is some research
yes.
being done that can be very, and I think there's been older research, like in the 80s, that men also reported that increased the quality of their orgasm. So it can be extremely helpful and beneficial for sex.
Ashley, so this is St. Louis University, Dr. Becky, can you repeat her last name?
Becky Lynn.
L-Y or
N-N? L-Y-N-N, yeah.
Okay. Yes, I've heard that too. I'm not familiar with her study, but definitely better orgasms for men and women are
mm-hmm.
often reported. Men being able to delay their orgasms. So it helps guys with premature ejaculation often. It helps
yep.
some guys with erectile dysfunction because of the because they're relaxing and the vasodilation.
Mm-hmm.
And, increasing the sex drive. It doesn't seem to impair any sexual functioning, as does alcohol.
Yeah.
And it may even increase the stamina for longer duration of arousal, particularly for older people. I'm speaking firsthand here, personally. studies have also shown that cannabis users have sex more frequently than non-users.
Mm-hmm.
And but the analgesic effects of cannabis may, as we said before, relieve the pain, allowing you to focus more on the feelings of pleasure. Yeah, it's very hard to focus on pleasure if you're experiencing pain, of course.
Yeah, and I think I think it's interesting. I'm hoping now with cannabis being legal in more places that there's going to be more research, because I wonder how much it could. I mean, I know it's helpful for pain, but there needs to be more research on sexual pain, because I've heard some of my clients have talked about how it helps with sexual pain. So it's something to also, like, people who have sexual pain that they could potentially experiment with.
Yes. And I had a client, probably 3 years ago now, because we have, as I mentioned earlier, in Washington State here, we've been legal since 2012, a very progressive state. But I had one woman with a pretty severe case of vaginismus, and I just want to say for the listeners, vaginismus is where the vaginal opening contracts so much that penetration is not possible, or when it is possible, it's very painful for the woman. And so I had a woman report that with the relaxation, she was able to relax enough that it helped with penetration, that and lots of lube, so that she was able to have intercourse with her partner, and it was mostly pain-free, and it got better and better as they went along.
That's amazing.
So that's encouraging.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But you're right, we need much more research on sexual pleasure and how it can also help with sexual pain. I think, too, that intimacy is improved because the altered state of consciousness induced by cannabis intoxication can serve to heighten the level of physical and emotional intimacy with your partner. And we're back to the intense orgasms. Having intense orgasms can serve to strengthen the bond between two people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a high like no other high.
Yeah.
to have a really intense orgasm, or maybe multiple orgasms. And many women, not many, but quite a number of women can do that. And it's fantastic.
And it does increase that connection when you have like that, like when you experience that pleasure together, it connects you. It brings more intimacy. It's extremely important, and I think it's something because you, and especially if both partners are using cannabis, you're just so, in some ways, I don't want to say it, maybe the wrong word is like in sync with each other.
Mm-hmm. So in sync. Oh, that's a very good phrase to use. So in sync. And you might try breathing together.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes more of a tantra kind of sexual experience. And that's for a whole nother show. And speaking of that, we are beginning to get to the end of this show. Ashley, I really want to have you back. You're so knowledgeable. And if people didn't catch you 2 weeks ago in the show, it's archived, where we spoke about aging and sexuality.
Yes.
And I think we could end this by saying we've got to enjoy the journey.
It's about the journey.
I'm sorry, what did it say?
It's all about the journey.
All about the journey, yeah. You and your partner, I'm talking to the audience now, can view your experiencing combining cannabis and sex as a journey of discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's no set pathway for learning how to navigate this new territory. There's no destination to aim for. Only unexplored pleasures that you might find awaiting you.
Yep. And pleasure and play. And I always say is that couples who play together stay together.
Yes. Yes. And maintaining an kind of a open and curious attitude is often facilitated by the cannabis itself, being open and curious.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing, of course.
Absolutely.
Yes. So we are about to put up on my DearDrDiana.com website, which is, there's the phone, the music. I think maybe I'm not hearing it so well. I have to kind of look at that. Is the music, Ashley? Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'll have you back, and we'll be in touch.
Great. Thank you so much.
And everybody, make sure that you do your homework before you try cannabis. Go to DearDrDiana.com. You'll read the bonus chapter on cannabis there. and it'll reinforce some of what I've said already. Thanks again, Ashley. Bye, everybody. Take care.
Happy feet. Da-da-da, happy feet. Da-da-da, happy feet.
Happy thing. Oh, I love it.